everybody, and welcome to Writing Easy, the podcast where we try to take writing and make it a little easier. I am Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Melissa. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm excited. How are you doing?
I just put a project that I have been almost done with for like 6 months. I finally just said, okay, I'm stopping. And I sent it to my beta readers and basically said, does this even make any sense anymore? Because I'd been working on it for so long and just like, okay, this is the final pass. Okay, wait, now this is the final pass. Okay, like this is really it. And now I had to step back away and it's off away for people to read it. And that's a very satisfying and also very terrifying place to be.
Yes, it's hard. It's hard to let go and know that somebody's reading and judging your work. Even if they love you and even if you know the feedback is necessary, it's so scary.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about critiquing. We're going to have to do an episode about that at some point. Yeah, you always hope that they're going to come back with, this is brilliant, this is amazing, don't change a thing, right? And then you always fear they're going to come back like, this is the worst piece of crap anyone's ever written. Obviously, the truth is usually somewhere in the middle, but...
Right. Because if they say, if they love it, if they are like, it's brilliant, it's amazing, that always sends panic in me too, because I'm like, are you sure? Because I know I'm not perfect.
Like, yeah, I have some readers, you know, some friends who will read it, and they'll just be like, it's awesome. And I'm like, you're saying that because, like, you really do truly think it's awesome. But if you weren't my mom, what would you think?
Exactly.
Yeah. But that leads me to a point now. I can start something new. Right? As we talked about two times ago, with the criteria for starting something new, I feel I meet those criteria and I'm ready to try to start something new. So I think today we should talk about starting a new project and exactly how to get going.
I love it. I love it. Permission has been granted. The door has been opened. You may now start a new project. How do you
Yay.
Do that?
Ding.
The magic question.
And I think we had a quote about that, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do. I have the quote of the week, and it is by Nora Roberts, who I love
her.
Her quote was, the most important thing in writing is to have written, which I think is appropriate, you know, for starting a new project, because you can get into that paralysis of like, where do I start? How do I start? What do I put down on the page? And that nasty internal editor kicks in before you've even written a word.
So
it's really great to just set that aside and write.
Every time I try a new project, I tell myself, okay, this time I'm going to do it right. This time I'm going to find the process that works perfectly so I can just chug through it and churn it out and it'll be easy. And that never happens. It's because everything is so different, but every time I try to do that. So let's say we're at a point where we know we want to do a project. And we already talked about generating ideas. So let's assume you have an idea already. That's happened. You've gone through your journals. You've done your experimentation. Go back and listen to that episode. And now we're ready to go. And for me, the biggest controversy in writing, well, not the biggest, but one of them is pants versus plotter.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like a religion. You know, it's like the star-bellied Sneetch. Like, I'm a plotter. I am a pantser, and I can never plot. And I'm a plotzer, and I can't even say it. But you're a plotter, right?
I am a plotter. I feel like this is so important. Like, non-writers don't understand how much of your identity is tied into whether you're a pantser or a plotter or the so-called plotsters, which I don't buy at all.
That's me. I'm a plotzer.
Sure you are.
I'm a total plotzer. And I'll explain why I call myself a plotzer. But yeah, so the idea is you either plot it all out and then write a draft, or you fake it as you go. And basically what happens is that first draft becomes your outline. It's just that you create the outline through your fingers. So they're not that different. And if you don't know as a writer, if you don't know which one you are, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know. The important thing to know is that you can borrow from either of the schools however you need, which is the middle path. See, it's very, very Buddhist, is what I call the plotzer. Like, I will free write a couple times, just like, oh, here's this idea, here's this idea, just sort of to develop, you know, see what sparks, see if I can meet a character that I like or a place I like, Am I going to use any of that? Probably not. But it's just to kind of get to know everybody. And then once I feel like, okay, now I've met my people, I've got my idea, you know, where I'm going with this, then I will make an outline, which I will not write to. I will start to, but that won't happen. So then I pants away. And I just go back and forth between just spewing stuff out and then taking what I have and try to make some plans so I feel like I know where I'm going. And then I start writing and I don't do that. And, you know, it's just kind of a back and forth process. We've established I am not a very efficient writer. So maybe that's not the quickest way to do it, but I don't know.
So I started as a pantser because I didn't really know how to plot a novel. Mm-hmm. And it was so painful because it is more time consuming, especially mm-hmm. if you're not a fast writer. Now, if you're not working and you're writing several hours a day and you can be one of those people who can churn out 10 or 20 or 30,000 words in a week, then maybe that's okay. For me, that it took a long time to write that many words. And then I would have to cut like 50, 70% of it because you mm-hmm. write yourself into corners and you go down directions and you're like, oh no, this is the story I need to tell. And then for me, it was very devastating to be like, I have to let go of all of these pages and start over. I try to minimize that. So I like to plot.
So tell me about the plotting process. Now, a lot of people say they try, like, they love the hero's journey, or they just say, oh, it's a three-act structure, or they, I've heard the heroine's journey is another one. What do you have a structure that you follow, or do you just kind of go one, next, next, next?
I have a loose structure. So I always start with a three-act structure and knowing my inciting incident and the turning point. So I always start with the big blocks and then work my way backwards and figuring out what those are. I have used the save the cat, but I usually use that method later in the process. So when I've got a full outline, I kind of go back and make sure that I'm addressing all the right beats, but I don't get too stressed out if they're not in the right place. I do get stressed out if they're missing, if there's something that's not happening that could keep the pace and the momentum of the story going in a
So you know how it's going to end.
Positive way. I always know how it's going to end. Yes. Mm.
And do you ever find that it's difficult to get to the place? Like you say, okay, I've got my path mapped out, and then you start to write to that path, and do you ever find it's difficult to get to that place? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, I know in Act Two, this has to happen, and I'm having a hard time steering the ship there.
Sometimes it happens, not as frequently, because the more I write, the more I understand when I'm outlining if I'm going to run into that trap.
Okay.
Because I think that usually when you run into that, it's either, to me, it's a consistency thing, right? Or it's like you haven't thought through all the implications of a particular character's choice or decision. And so then you write yourself into a corner. But if you have a really strong outline that you've sort of pressure tested, then that likelihood is less. It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. And I have definitely veered off. So that's the other thing. I think people think that, like, I have this outline and I can't change the outline. It has to stay 100% the way I envisioned it. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think that if you're writing and suddenly you have inspiration or you're like, oh, this might be the villain or this might be the X, I allow myself to play with that. But I also step back and look at the outline and think about, okay, if I'm changing this, how does it change all of the other things in the story? And am I comfortable with that? Is that the right direction? So I just have a roadmap to make sure I'm still getting to where I want to go.
So do you do like several drafts of your outline? But you said it's pressure tested. So it's not just like you plot it out, okay, let's go. You like work through it. You spend a lot of time putting the outline together.
I spend a ton of time putting the outline together. And then when I switched from writing novels to writing for television and film, like television in particular, they all have outlines and everything is sort of pressure tested. And so my critique group will read through my outlines and be like, oh, I don't know if this makes sense, or maybe you should move the scene earlier. Have you thought about these motivations? And I also build it so that it's not just a one line, like this thing happens, but I really add a lot of detail, sometimes character descriptions or setting descriptions or like snippets of dialogue if I've heard them in my head as I'm thinking about the scenes, so mm-hmm. that I'm really just sort of growing the story in an organic way, but like as I'm doing that outlining synopsis sort of phase.
Cool. And what do you do your outline in? Like what sort of tool do you use? Do you like just write it in Word? Do you like have sticky notes on the wall? Do you, I don't know, elaborate interpretive dance? No idea.
I don't know how that would work. Yeah, I cannot start an outline on my computer. So I use the giant butcher paper post-its method where I just like chart off act one, act two, act three, and then I just label each scene on a post-it and throw it on the paper on the board. So because I have a fear of commitment, this means that I can easily move something around from one to the next, or I can rewrite all of the scenes that I think would be really cool to have in the story. And they don't necessarily have to end up there. I can put them in a place. I can move them. I can take them off. I can cut them. But I have a record of all the scenes that I thought of in that brainstorming process.
I have an ulterior motive here because I am going to start a new thing and write some short stories. And I've always struggled with plotting. I feel like it would be more efficient, but I've never been able to do it. So I'm going to try it again, and maybe I will try to learn from you, see if you can teach me your wise ways.
My wise ways.
So I think part of the reason that, for me, the reason I end up pantsing a little bit more is that I kind of have to get to know the people, the characters. And, you know, the story is the character, right? Like, the plot is what the characters do. So plot and character are the same thing. And so I kind of want to start with character development. You don't have to start there, right? You start wherever the juice is, whatever is grabbing you. But character is a really good place to start. And so you have to kind of get to know them. Now, I tend to get to know them through writing, right? As a pantser, the act of writing, typing words on a page is how my brain thinks, is how I'm able to keep up with my brain. And some of it's an ADD thing, but we won't go into that. So I like to test drive my characters, right? So I will, and I think a lot of those drafts that I'm talking about that I do end up throwing away are really just exercises, are just like, well, let's take this person here and see what happens. And let's take this person here and let's bring these guys together. And do they have anything to do with the actual story yet? Maybe, maybe not, but I start to get to build who they are. They start to kind of come out through that. So, I'll have just random scenes with my characters, and you know, I may get some plot ideas from it, but probably not. And I also like to focus very much on dialogue at that point and inner thought. So, like, there's not a lot of action. There's not a lot of description. It's just kind of like, here's my inner monologue, and then I'm talking to people to hear their voices, to kind of feel who they are. And then sometimes, if I get really desperate and I really can't find this person, I will talk to them, which is kind of weird. But if it's that's what it takes, that's what I got to do. Yeah. So I'll write a scene of me and the character talking to each other, me like interviewing them about, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? What's happening? And I, you know, whatever it has to do to get my brain to understand who they are, for them to kind of gel in my head. So I spend a lot of words on that. But the nice thing is then I get to feel like I've done a lot of word count for the day. Because they're, you know, all this stuff, which will maybe never see the light of day, but I'm typing, I'm making words, and that feels like I'm doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous because I spend a lot of time in the sort of prep stage and the character development and world building stage, but I don't do things that create words, so then I feel like I'm not making progress. Yeah.
See, that's the thing, is I can post a word count and I feel really good. And it doesn't, I'm not actually any further than I would be. But it's like, you know, sometimes when they have construction on the highway and you see that there's going to be a lot of traffic on the highway. I say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go take side streets. I'm going to take another route on side streets. Now, were the side streets any faster than if I'd been just stop and go through the highway? Absolutely not. I got there at the same time, if not later. But the journey was nicer. Yeah. And so maybe that's what I'm doing. I'm typing the words. I feel like I'm a writer. I'm not getting to my destination any quicker, but it feels better. I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't consider that necessarily like pantsing, because it's just like the stuff that you do to get to know your characters. Like I will... And I love that you said that you talk to your characters sometimes, because
it's kind of scary.
I really will get into my character's head and I will create a Pinterest board with like their likes and try and understand, like, have something that inspires me about their personality and their quirks. And I will create playlists for every project that I make on Spotify. There is a playlist with music that is inspired by sort of the tone and the world and what I'm creating. And that helps me sort of reset and get into the moment in the character's head when I'm actually writing. But part of it is just exploring, like, what is it that I'm trying to do with this project? And I do all of that before I start outlining. I do like character, I guess almost like diary or journal entries where like I think about the major milestones in their lives. Like, what are the things that happen to them that contribute to how they see the world around them? And I kind of sketch or write through those things. So if I know that a character's mother died when they were 13, like, I will write that moment so that I understand the impact and what happened. And I may never use it. Most of the time I don't use that, but it does allow me to understand her thinking so that when I'm outlining, I can actually understand her response to certain situations based on her past.
And if, as you're going, you find that, I don't know, for whatever reason, that backstory you created doesn't work, right? For whatever, you realize, oh, yeah, it would be much better if I need her mother. You're like, it would be so great if she showed up because I need her. And I'm just being totally theoretical here. I know my backstory was that she died, but okay, I need her. You're allowed to change that. Do you feel like that's cheating?
No, I don't think I don't think it's cheating. I've changed things before. I have a character who that actually happened to. Like, she was a little older, her parents were both dead, then her dad was alive, then she was younger, then I was like, I don't really want her dad, so I got rid of him again. And
yeah.
But I feel like that also comes to me sometimes through the revision process. So once I have a draft, if there's still something not working, I may go back and say, like, is there something that I'm doing to make this journey easier or not as compelling that I need to actually remove a character or change something in their background to make them put more at stake, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Point I was trying to get at is, like, yeah, you're allowed to do whatever you want. You're in charge.
It's the great thing about writing. You are in charge. You can do whatever you want.
And I think another good point that a question that I think we need to talk about is, when do you stop the prep and get to work, right? I mean, not that the prep isn't work. The prep is work. But you're like, okay, now I'm going to open a new Scrivener file or a new Word file or whatever. Grab a new notebook or whatever the hell you write in. I've done enough prep. Now it's time to get going. That's a difficult time to know, I would think, especially if you do a lot of plotting.
It's very hard.
I rush to that very quickly. I'm like, let's go. I want to get this. Because I really love being done. So I hurry to done too fast. And then, yeah, I have to back up and do it again. But, you know, my path is windy, but it gets there. So how do you know when it's time to go? Or is it just a deadline?
I don't. I usually need an external force to, like, push me to go. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise I will linger in that space for way too long. And I also have this, like, phobia where until I've written that first page or that first word, like, the idea is perfect. Like, it is just flawless and it's great and it's going to be a bestseller. It's the next Harry Potter, like, whatever it is. It's like, it's perfect in my head until I start writing. And then I start bumping against those questions or those issues. And I'm like, this is not perfect. It sucks. And I don't want to do this anymore. So I like to linger in that. Like, as long as I haven't started it, it's still perfect. And I still get to be in that infatuation stage.
You can't mess it up. I think this might be part of the reason why I jumped to writing so quickly, because I know I will go there. I'll stay there in that place, because that's great. You know, I'm going to draw 600 maps. I'm gonna find all the outfits that they've ever worn. I'm gonna get a floor plan for every setting. I'm ready. I've created the whole Bible for this thing, and now I have to start it. So yeah, it's a difficult thing to do, and I think you never really are ready. Right? There's no point where you're like, got it, let's go. There's always going to be that leap.
Which I think is interesting in television, because television is a collaborative writing. So, like, you have to outline because there's 6, 10, 12 other people in the room. And everybody has to have a voice, and the studio has to sign off on it before they'll spend millions of dollars on producing an episode and you drafting it. And so, like, the business of it changes the process. But it's also interesting, it's like, there is that hard deadline. Like, you cannot just linger, even though you have to do all this planning and you have to pressure test those outlines over and over again. Like, there's also a hey, this is going to actors and producers and mm-hmm. they're building sets and it's happening on this day, so it's got to go.
Yeah, we don't have time for your muse to show up. You got work to do. And yeah, and I think important thing, I like what you brought up about it's in your head, it's perfect, and then on paper, it's not. And I've heard this from a lot of people. What you end up making never completely matches what's in your head. So you've got this idea, this platonic ideal in your head after you've done all your work of what the thing is going to be. But what you end up producing will always be less. And I think it's good that it's less, because that's going to push you to improve, right? To keep going forward. Because if you just got it perfect, you're like, yep, that was what I wanted to do. There's no real thrust as a creator. Otherwise, you'll just keep doing the same thing over and over again. So by having your reach exceed your grasp, you're going to keep growing as an artist. So that's okay. That's good.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Maybe.
I think I agree.
Buy into that. So we've figured out our project. We've got either an outline or whatever prep work we're going to do. It is time to start actually writing the thing. And this is what I always call it, and this is the grossest image ever, so I'm going to apologize ahead of time, but this is just what makes sense to me. It's what I call the puke draft. You have to just puke out all the stuff, which you will then sculpt. And I realize that that means that my book is some sort of vomit sculpture, which is disgusting, but I think I'm like, maybe it's honey. Okay, I'm a bee. There we go. I'm a bee, and the honey. And then you turn that into the honeycomb or something. I don't know. But yeah, there's a first thing is just sort of like blah, 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 blah. I don't know anyone who types out, you know, sits down to type and says like, this is it. This is exactly like Mozart. There's no corrections, right? That's creepy. That doesn't happen.
Yeah. Except when it does. Okay, so I don't know if this actually happened, but I was at Y'all West yesterday. It's a YA-inspired event with lots of authors. And the keynote speaker was Angie Thomas, who wrote The Hate U Give. And Nick Stone, who I cannot remember the title of her book. But it's similar to The Hate U Give. I think it has to do with Trayvon Martin. Anyway, so she said that she just finished her second book and she literally sent it off to her agent after she wrote the last chapter, and that terrified me. And she said she has never read her work, which I don't believe. I think she's never read it in print. But she said that like she literally like finished the last chapter and sent it like without going back and rereading or revising. And I was like, that's insane. Like, are you sure you didn't? Like, do you edit along the way?
That's really irritating.
So there's people that do that, but they're rare and we don't like them.
We don't. Okay, so another point about the puke draft is you don't just have one, right? So that's the other thing that I used to trip me up is rough draft, final draft. There. Done. And no, it could be like you could puke out three or four different drafts before you go. Chuck Wendig, wonderful author, he spoke to Seton Hill. When we were there. I don't know if you were there still.
I wasn't.
If you saw him. Sadness. He's really good. But he's put this on his blog too, terribleminds.org, I think. The writing a book is like running through a dark house. And like the first time you're going through and you're hitting your leg on everything and you're crashing into things. You're just trying to stumble your way through. And then the second time through, you have a little better idea of where you are. But not completely. And then by the time you've done it a couple times, you know exactly where you're going. And that's the last draft. So really the first draft, the first things you're doing is really just prep. And we've talked about shitty first draft already before. Yeah. So we're probably repeating ourselves. But one thing that metaphor that I found was it's like when you're cooking, you know, you put out the mise en place first. You chop your vegetables and you put those in a little bowl and you, I don't know, whatever else people do when they cook. I don't cook. But you get, well, I bake though. So like you have all your, measure out your flour and you put that in a place. And you crack your eggs and you put that in a place. So that way you have everything ready. You can just go. And that's what the first draft is. It's really just your mise en place. You're just measuring out your stuff.
Yep.
And then the metaphor falls apart at that point because you cook it and it's done. You don't cook it and cook it and cook it and cook it.
But if you were creating a new recipe or a new dish, you would cook it because you would make it over again and you'd be like, oh, this didn't work. This flavor's not right. I need more turmeric or whatever it is.
Yeah, or maple syrup or both.
I don't know what we're making, but
yeah, that's disgusting. So, okay, but last night We were at a breakfast place for dinner, and I got potato pancakes, and my husband got French toast. There's a point to the story, I swear. They gave me a little dish with my sour cream and my applesauce for my potato pancakes. And also next to it was my husband's little thing of syrup. A little bit of the maple syrup got into my sour cream. And I was like, oh, that's gross. My husband's like, well, here, I'll clean it out for you. And he's like, yeah, let me try it. He's like, that's really good. And there was a little bit left. He's like, try it. I'm like, yeah. So maple syrup and sour cream, something to think about. Well, I feel like we're starting to talk about other things. So I think we've kind of gotten enough to get us started. I think we've kind of covered just that moment, that impetus of like, okay, let's go. I think another show would be talking about the actual writing the first draft, what you do after the first draft, getting critiques and all that good stuff. But I think we've kind of put together how to get going.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do some prep. You got to do some, it's sloppy stuff, but it firms up with time, either through working on your draft and working on your outline, your character profiles, all that sort of stuff. And I love that phrase, pressure testing. I think that's a perfect way of putting it. Or through writing, you know, scene after scene of stuff and things and, you know, figuring out what you're going to use and not. It's really the same process. It's just what tools work for you.
Yeah. I realized I forgot something. So this is sort of my cool, fun resource a next step for folks to check out. I'm going to plug another podcast, but it is because this writer is amazing. So N.K. Jemisin.
Oh, I love her.
Right? She's an amazing spec fic writer. And she does a brainstorming, like a world building episode with Joel Klein on the Joel Klein podcast. August 27th, we'll link it in the show notes. It's like an hour and a half of her creating a world or a universe for a story.
Awesome.
With the host.
Just brand new author. Right
brand
there.
New. Like, he contributes to it. And she just walks through her thought process. So we should do a whole episode on, you know, world building in general. But it's fantastic. And again, it's one of those things in the prep. You get to hear how she thinks about it, how much time she spends on building her worlds. It's amazing. Oh,
that's so good. I always want to like watch people work, you know, like you can watch people work in a lot of things, you know, watch a rehearsal process or watch someone prep, but watching someone write, it doesn't really work. But
yeah.
So this is such a great, rare treat to be able to be privy to that. I'm totally going to listen to that. That's amazing.
It's fabulous. So there you go. There's your gift from us.
Brilliant.
To the audience, even though that's didn't wonderful. Create it at all.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. Well, I think that's just going to just about do it for us this week. The important thing is just stay loose, keep writing. So remember, writing is hard.
So take it easy.
It's the cheesiest tagline ever. I'm Mary Mascari.
And I'm Melissa Long.
See you guys next time.
Bye.